It is my privilege this morning to segue, as it were, from a traditional service into an ordination service. And so my sermon this morning is going to be somewhat unusual because, first and foremost, it is directed just to one person. That is sitting on the front row, the man who's going to be ordained in a few minutes. And I talk about having the great privilege. It was about 8 years ago when this young man first entered into a class that I was teaching. So of all the elders, I think, other than Ray Merringer, and you'll find out who the ordination council was a little later in the ordination service, but I think next to Ray Merringer, I have known the one who's going to become, as we jokingly refer to, the Right Reverend Adam Waller in just a few minutes, that I've known you the longest, And I've seen how the Lord has wonderfully worked in this young man's life, and you're going to have an opportunity to hear that from his own mouth in just a few minutes. But as one of your elders, and you're going to have an opportunity also to hear a charge during the ordination part of the service from other of the Grace Life elders as well to Pastor Adam. But I have the opportunity to give my charge in somewhat the form of a sermon. And the passage, and you can turn back in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, or in London, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. And so this is going to be part sermon, part charge to our brother Adam. Yeah, I think it's apropos that we look at one of the so-called pastoral letters that Paul wrote toward the end of his ministry, two to Timothy and one to Titus, because not only were these addressed to those men, but were also addressed to the churches that they were serving. And we can see this at the end of every one of the letters where Paul gives a classic greeting, grace be with you, and that you is in the plural. And so it was a letter to be read to the church, and the church was to hear, and the church was to apply the truth that is in the letter as much as the servant of the Lord who is being addressed. And that's the way it is this morning. The first and foremost, like Paul to Timothy, I'll be addressing our brother Adam, but nevertheless, it is also a message to the whole church, to all of you who are part of Grace Life London, and those who are visiting that you are part of the Universal Church of Jesus Christ. So to the servant, but also to the church. And even though my three major points will first and foremost address Adam, I also give some application to you and I as members of the congregation as well. Well, it's very interesting as we come to 2 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, as you call it here in your country, my country, our country. As we come to this section of Scripture, we have come to the end of Paul's writings chronologically. 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul writes that we have in our Bible before he was put to death. These are his final words. And of course, final words have a special poignancy. They have a special importance. I mean, when you know that your life is down to its last final days and hours and minutes and seconds, obviously the words you choose to speak are words that are very measured and and words that you recognize will have a lasting impact long after you are gone. And so in many ways, these are the final words that Paul addresses to his young ministry associate, Timothy. It's very interesting that this was at the end of about 17 years of association that Timothy had with the Apostle Paul. Timothy is introduced to us in the Bible in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, where as Paul begins his second missionary journey and as he comes back into the Galatian region, there is a young man by the name of Timothy who was well spoken of by the brothers. That here is a man who had grown up in Lystra. His family was well known among the believers. He had a believing grandmother. He had a believing mother, even though she was married to a Roman, and no indication that he was a believer. But nevertheless, Timothy was well known in those parts, and so was his conversion. And Paul makes it clear that he came to Christ through his ministry, through Paul's ministry. Timothy had a special bond because of that with the great Apostle Paul. But when he returns, probably a little over 2 years after the conversion, Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers. He was a young man. Obviously, that had responded not only to the gospel, but new scripture, and scripture was starting to shape and form his life, and he was having a great impact upon the brothers in that area. So much so that the Spirit of God led the Apostle Paul to have Timothy join his ministry team. That through his second and third missionary journeys, and even after his arrest and being taken to Rome, and then this interlude of ministry before his second arrest and death, Timothy was with him. And Timothy was sent on ministry opportunities by the Apostle Paul. And before he began that ministry with Paul, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, had been set apart to ministry by the laying on of hands of the elders. The elders recognized the work of God in Timothy's life, not only his salvation, but also his call to ministry. And so they identified and they set Timothy apart for service to Jesus Christ, to the gospel, and to the proclamation of Scripture. And after 17 years of ministry with the Apostle Paul, now finding himself in Ephesus and Paul being taken to Rome where he was going to ultimately die, Paul sends this letter we call to Timothy, back to Timothy, and in these verses we're going to look at, gives his final charges to a servant of Christ Jesus, to a man ordained, a man recognized by the elders of the church of Lystra as a man specially called by God to ministry, and how that ministry had worked out over the past 17 years, and Paul had seen it. And now at the very end of this letter, he gives his final charges to Timothy, his final charges to a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not expecting to die in the next few days, but if I did, these would be my final charges to you, Adam, and to the church here at Grace Life London. But I do know this, that the final charges to Timothy, Brother Adam, become the first charges I will give to you as you begin your ministry as an ordained, set-apart minister, servant of Jesus Christ. And basically, I have three charges based upon what we see in this passage of Scripture. And the three charges center around the imperatives that we see in these final words that Paul directs to Timothy. Notice 3:10, you, however, and again 4:1, I charge you, and again verse 5, as for you. And so these are very pointed. I missed verse 14, but for you, chapter 3. All right, and so Paul is making some direct statements to Timothy. And these become direct statements for you, Adam. Well, in chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, we see the first charge. And the first charge is seen in that imperative in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Charge number one, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Now, why that charge? Because as Paul has described to Timothy and to us, in verses 10 to 13, we live in a world that is not open-armed to the ministry of the Word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, as Paul reminded Timothy in verses 10 and 11, that Timothy had seen Paul endure a lot of persecution in his ministry, beginning in what is recorded in Acts 13 and 14, at the very beginning of Paul's ministry as a missionary at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and how Lystra had even been left for dead. And yet through all the persecutions, how Paul had remained constant. His conduct, his aim, his life, his faith, his patience, his love, his steadfastness had not wavered. That he was firmly fixed upon his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And no matter what he had to go through, he saw the Lord's hand. The persecutions he endured, he says at the end of verse 11, from them all, the Lord rescued me. The Lord delivered me. That the persecutions didn't stop his ministry, didn't stop his resolve to preach the word and proclaim Jesus Christ. And then to Timothy and to us and to you, Adam, he goes on to say, indeed, just like Paul, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So godly individuals will be persecuted. While their persecutors, verse 13, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the Bible is very, very realistic about the world in which we as Christians live, the world in which you, Adam, are going to minister. It's a world that is not open, but rather very hostile to the message that you have been called to proclaim. It's not an easy task to be a godly person. It is not an easy task to be a servant of Jesus Christ. That's realistic. That's realism. And because the godly will be persecuted, you, Adam, like Timothy, you need to continue to allow Scripture to shape you and equip you for every good work. Now, our culture and times are changing. I look back on my ministry of over 40 years since I was set apart. And the persecution I've had to endure has basically been passive and verbal. That is, most people that response to the reality of gospel ministry, ministry of the word, is basically to ignore it. Just a number of years ago, as this church began, 2011, so 6 years ago, we had a missionary team here, and I was right outside of Waitrose, and we were passing out flyers introducing the fact that there was a church here, Grace Life London. And I gave the tract to an elderly man who was walking down the street, and I said, I'd like to invite you to a church that that is just beginning, just you know, a couple of streets over. And he said, well, he didn't say some words I can repeat here, but he basically said, the last thing that I want is to be told about a church in my neighborhood. And so he had some, well, I guess at that point it was some very verbal attack against the church, God, the Bible, etc. And I thought, that's the most persecution that I get for ministering in London. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say to me verbally. But he went on, I think he went on to Tesco to do his shopping, and I went on inviting people to come to the church. Verbal and somewhat passive, because most people, at least he, said something about why he wouldn't, you know, take the flyer. Most people, as I tried to give the flyer, we'd like to introduce you to a church that's starting, their response was what? Look like I didn't exist and walk right on by. That's what we endure for a couple of generations. The persecution has been basically passive and verbal, but it's changing. What was passive is now becoming much more active. And what has been verbal is slowly but surely becoming much more visible and physical. And as you know, that there are street preachers here in Great Britain that have had to face arrest and tribunals because of preaching the gospel. Things are changing. And Paul tells us, as believers, and particularly as set-apart ministers of God like Timothy, to expect that kind of persecution. So what is the antidote? What does Paul say? He says, because the godly will be persecuted, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. You're going to share a little bit of testimony how you grew up in a Christian home. But Adam has received the word of God from childhood on. It's been part of his life. But only the Lord used that knowledge from childhood, much like Timothy, that as he became a young man, brought salvation. And so continue in what you've learned and believe, knowing from whom you learned it. And the whom there is plural. Going back to his grandmother, Lois, his mother, Eunice, and possibly Paul himself. But from a childhood, the sacred writings, that is the Old Testament, that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember continually that it was the Scripture that brought you to know Christ and your need as a sinner for Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is that Scripture which is the very foundation of your regenerated life that is to continue to guide and direct you and shape you and equip you for every good work. For Paul then goes on to affirm in verses 16 and 17 that just as the sacred writings make one wise to salvation, leading to faith in Jesus Christ, that same Scripture is part of the totality of Scripture, speaking here of the Old Testament, but anticipating the New Testament, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's God-breathed for the purpose of being profitable to teach, to give instruction, for reproof, to show where one is missing the mark with God, rebuking, this is where you're falling short, and correction to correct those failures, and for training and exercise in righteousness, where the result that the man of God, the servant of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. And here is Paul speaking to Timothy and saying, approximately 20 years after your conversion, 17 years after your ordination, and you still continue in what you've learned and believed. Yesterday was not an end, Brother Adam. Yesterday was only a beginning. You are to continue. Continue to allow Scripture to shape and equip you for every good work. We never arrive. I've had the privilege of teaching Bible for 25 years in a seminary, and I still don't know everything that is in the Bible. There are still things to be learned. There are still sins to be shown. There's still correction to be heeded. There is still teaching and training to take place until the day we see Jesus Christ face to face. And the more we face persecution from the ungodly, each one of us, not just Adam, we need to continue to allow Scripture to shape our lives and equip us as well as ones that are set apart. And so there's the first charge. Continue to allow Scripture to shape you and equip you for every good work. Now, this is what the Scripture will do for you. But the second point Paul makes in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4 is that as a set-apart servant of Christ, you have a responsibility to speak Scripture to others as well. And he begins in verse 1, I charge you, I give a strong command to you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, that it's almost like Adam, you're already standing before the judge, as one day we all will. Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, that is, those who are presently living and those who've already died, every individual, every man, woman, who has ever been born will one day stand before Jesus Christ as judge. And so will those of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to stand before Him for judgment that leads to reward. And that judgment of the living and the dead will occur by His appearing, is shining forth His glory when He returns to establish His kingdom upon the earth. And the Bible is very, very clear that the rewards and positions in His kingdom will be based upon our faithful service to Him in the present. And so as one who will appear before Christ Jesus, because you, Adam, will appear before Christ Jesus as your judge, He is the one who will ultimately evaluate your ministry. It's not your fellow elders. It's not the people to whom you minister. Ultimately, the one who will evaluate your ministry is going to be Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate judge. He is the one who's called you. He is the one you serve. He is the one who will evaluate your ministry. So because you'll appear before Jesus Christ as judge, here comes the second imperative. Preach the word. Herald, sound it forth. Now I know back in, 200, 300 years ago in London, I wouldn't have to explain what a herald did. A herald went through the streets of London declaring what people needed to hear, what was taking place. Herald, a public herald, of course, has been replaced by newspapers and then radio and television, now internet, and I guess some of you can get the latest tweets and know what's happening around the world before those around the world know what's happening. But in the old days, it was a herald. And many times, your very life depended upon listening to what the herald had to say. And of course, that was true within the Roman Empire. This is the way the decrees of the Roman government were set throughout the empire to those who were part of that empire. They were to listen to the verbal messages, the heralding which came from Caesar, from the emperor. But we have a greater than emperor. We have the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the sacred writings, all scripture, is now referred to as the Word. And brother, here is your great responsibility, not only to allow scripture to shape and equip you for every good work, but because you will appear before Christ Jesus, your judge, you need to preach the Word. You need to herald it. You need to sound it forth. And by the way, be ready in season and out of season. You have to preach the Word continually. There's no days off. There's no, well, I'm on my sabbatical right now, I don't need to do it. No, you've got to be ready when the time is right and even when the time is wrong. Preach the Word continually and completely, reproving, rebuking, exhorting. By the way, notice two terms, negative, reprove and rebuke, as well as exhorting to faithfulness to the truth. And you're to do it with complete patience. And your preaching is to be based upon teaching, instruction from the Word, and then calling the hearers as a herald to respond to the reproof and rebuke that comes through Scripture and the exhortation to make the correction based upon what God can do through your union with Jesus Christ and the enablement of your Holy Spirit. And you're to teach it again and again and again patiently. Now, the Lord is going to bless you very soon with a child. And you're going to find out that the little wallow that is coming into your home is not going to hear your instruction once and do it perfectly. A parent has to learn to train and teach with patience. And there's going to be a lot of spilt milk. There's going to be a lot of... blood and well, you got a little girl, so not quite as much blood as with a boy, but that's the way it is. And they find they'll start before two, but by the time they get terrible twos, they're into everything, and you got to patiently instruct and instruct and instruct. Well, your sheep are the same way. Herald the Word. And do it completely. Don't leave anything out. Everything is profitable in God's Word, not only for you, but for your people. And do it with patience. And make sure that in your heralding it's based upon teaching. So, because you will appear before Jesus Christ as your judge, preach the Word continually and completely. And that needs to be done, verses 3 and 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, healthy teaching, that which is for their spiritual benefit. Problem is, people don't know what is spiritually good or not. We live in a day and age where finding out certain things are not good for us to eat, other things are. Most of the stuff that is not good to eat tastes the best. Stuff that isn't tastes the worst. Well, but it's not the same with the Word of God. That which is most healthy is that which comes from God. And yet the time is coming people will not endure, they'll not tolerate that kind of teaching which is for their spiritual health. But rather having itching ears, They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll decide what they want to do and then find religious teachers that will tell them that's all right to do. And we'll turn away to listening to the truth. And there's the fourth way the Word of God is referred to. Not only just sacred writings and scripture, the Word, but also truth. And we'll wander off in the myths, in the fairy tales, stories. The stories which allow them to live in the way they want to live. So verses 3 and 4, because some will not tolerate healthy teaching. Here comes our final imperatives in 4, 5. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And there comes 4 quick imperatives. Always be sober-minded. Always have a realistic understanding of your life, your ministry, your circumstances. Be sober. Be realistic. Be rational. Don't allow your mind to wander off into spiritual daydreaming. Stay anchored in reality. And as you do, you'll endure suffering to do the work that God has called you to do. Now, do the work of evangelist. Timothy uniquely had been called with the Apostle Paul to go to pioneer ministries and proclaim Jesus Christ where Christ had never previously been known. And then take the believers and establish them in churches. That was his unique ministry that he was fulfilled, the unique service that Jesus Christ had called him to. And so what Paul is saying is, as I pass on to be with the Lord, Timothy, you continue the work that has begun. You now, like me, have to endure the suffering. You have to do the work of evangelist. You have to fulfill the service to which Jesus Christ has called you to. Now, Jesus Christ is not necessarily calling you to go to places where Christ has never been known. For there's a sense in which, as you let the Word of God shape your life, as you herald that word of truth to others, that it should include, obviously, the fact that you are reaching out evangelistically to proclaim that truth to those who have never embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And even here in London, as the years go by, there are more and more individuals that have never heard the name of Christ. There's almost a sense in which London is very, very quickly becoming a pioneer area where Jesus Christ is proclaimed because there are many in London who do not know who Jesus is, who've never heard the name, other than probably as a swear word. And so you need to be about evangelizing, sharing the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ where he has put you. You need to fulfill the ministry that God has assigned to you as an elder here at Grace Life London. And just because some will not tolerate healthy teaching, that means even more, you need to be faithful to the truth that God has given to you. And as a congregation, as the truth is proclaimed by Adam and other servants of Jesus Christ here, you have a responsibility to listen and hear and heed and follow. Are you as a congregation saying, I have certain desires, I have certain passions, I have certain sins that I want to pursue? And I want to hear somebody who's going to teach me from the Bible that it's okay. Are you willing to come to be taught the Word continually and completely and respond to that which is healthy for your spiritual life? Be an encouragement to the teachers and leaders God has given to you by responding as they fulfill the ministry that God has called them to in this place. And so there is my charge to you, based upon these final charges of Paul to Timothy, final charges to a servant of Jesus Christ. Continue first to allow Scripture to shape you and equip you for every good work. Second, preach that word continually and completely. And third, always be sober-minded and complete the service God's assigned to you. And as you do, like Timothy, you will find yourself an approved workman of God who does not need to be ashamed. And Adam, that's my prayer for you, that as you continue, as you preach, as you with sober-mindedness complete your ministry, God will be glorified in your life and in your ministry. And this church will be blessed of God because of your faithfulness to the charge that God has given to you as a servant of Christ Jesus. Now, this is going to segue. The other elders are going to also have some words of charge to you as we go into our service of ordination. But I'm going to have just a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing Eternal God Unchanging. And as we do, those of you who are parents, we think it is vital for your children to see what is taking place here this morning. Children learn more through the eye and ear than sometimes they can learn in a class downstairs. So you take, and as we sing, you go get your children, bring them back up so they can witness the ordination service as we segue into that part of our time this morning. So let me pray, and then we'll have the music team come up and lead us in song. Father, we come to you rejoicing this morning, rejoicing that you are God, and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are still calling men into ministry, to be set apart uniquely, to serve you as shepherds of your flock, of elders who will feed, who will lead, who will guide, that will oversee and give direction to the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly in this local expression at Grace Life London. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church, continues to give unto shepherds to his church and to his churches. And we thank you for that reminder today as we set apart Adam Waller to gospel ministry, recognized with a good reputation among those that he has served, with a good not only reputation but acclamation by the elders, that he has been fully vetted and is one who is a knowledgeable, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for now this opportunity to publicly recognize what you have done and are doing and will do in his life as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, allow him to continue to allow Scripture to shape his life. Father, may he continually and completely herald your word And Father, may he be sober in all things and fulfill the ministry that you've given to him. Father, may that be his testimony until he sees Jesus Christ and hears from the great judge, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, we pray this, that Adam might be blessed, this church might be blessed, and most importantly, the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified. As we pray these things in and through his name, amen.